Hello, welcome to Books in the Biz, a podcast that looks at both the financial and operational sides of success. Please welcome our hosts, Dan Paulson and Richard Veltre. Dan is the CEO of Envision Development International, and he works with leaders to increase sales and profits through great cultures with solid operations. Rich is CEO of the Veltre Group and a financial strategist working with companies to manage their money more effectively. Now on to the...
Hello, welcome to Books in the Biz. Thank you, Alice, for that wonderful introduction. Rich, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Doing well, doing well. Getting through tax time as the recording of this is taking place. So I'm sure you're having a blast there. And we got a guest. So we're going to welcome Anne France. Anne, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Good. Well, just so I don't screw anything up, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and give a little bit of your background before we get started. How's that?
Sure. Well, I'm Anne France. I'm the executive director of the Northeast Wisconsin Manufacturing Alliance, or we say New Manufacturing Alliance, or NUMA. And I helped start this organization 19 years ago. Started with 12 companies in Northeast Wisconsin, and now we have over 400 members, over 250 being manufacturers in the region.
So what prompted you to start this?
Well, fortunately, you know, sometimes you're just at the right place at the right time. So I was hired by Northeast Wisconsin Technical College to fulfill a grant it had with the Area Regional Workforce Board. And they provide a lot of tax dollars for people to go back to college. And they're like, you know, it'd be really good to know if there's these jobs after these people finish their degree. So they wanted somebody to go out and talk to CEOs about their current and future workforce needs. And I was hired for that role in November of 2005. Well, not many CEOs wanted to talk to me, but fortunately in January 2006, I finally had somebody who wanted to talk to me, and it was a company out of the Green Bay area. And the owner was like, I have great jobs, but nobody wants them. Mm-hmm. And is there anyone trying to change the image of manufacturing? So we brought some people together, and it was really one of the college presidents in our region that said, you know what? This is your problem, manufacturers, and you need to fix it. And this president, Paul Rauscher, said, you know what? You're right. I've been pointing my fingers at everybody except for myself. And manufacturers are really good problem solvers, and we have a problem, so let's get down to it and solve it. So because I was early on in the job, the director of the Bay Area Workforce Development Board said, hey, Ann can help you. And so long story short, we had a few meetings, and that's when in June of 2006, we started the organization with 12 companies. Our footprint is the 18 counties of Northeast Wisconsin. So from Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, all the way up to the UP border.
Got it. Great. So what are some of the, I guess, initiatives or projects that you've been working on through that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the first things we did was I used to go out to schools and talk to kids about being a welder. And, you know, if it's such a great job, why aren't I a welder? So why not have real people who are really doing these jobs talk about their career? So we started a program called the All Stars 16 years ago, where we had companies nominate their employees between the ages of 18 and 35. And then we spotlight them in a careers magazine. We print 25,000 copies that go out to schools, teachers, parents, kids. The electronic version has videos of each person talking about their career. So now we have over almost 200 career videos of real people. They're not scripted, just asking them, what did you get excited about in your job? Why do you like working the field? Another thing we found with K-12 is, you know, a lot of times we work with high schoolers, but they've already kind of decided, some of them, where they want to go. So we needed to reach down lower. So a couple of things that we did was we created videos that show how math and science are used in the real world. Because we had a math teacher once say to me, she's like, you know, I'm so tired of kids raising their hand in my class saying, when am I ever going to use this in the real world? And I was one of those kids. I feel a little guilty. So we're like, hey, well, we want kids to see manufacturing every day. So now we have about 100 math and science videos from fourth grade to high school level. So one of them is, what does math have to do with toilet paper? So do you know what math has to do with toilet paper?
I do not.
Well, to make toilet paper and put it on the rolls, you definitely need some math. So that video shows a big parent roll come off a paper machine. It's 7 tons. And we give the dimensions of that. And then we ask the kids, how many rolls of 2-ply toilet paper does that machine make every day? Any guesses?
No idea. 7-ton roll?
Yep. That's how heavy that big parent roll is.
Okay. How many feet?
And you have to watch the video to get that information. I'll tell you the answer. It's 1.2 million rolls of toilet paper.
Wow.
That machine makes every day.
That's a lot of toilet paper.
That is a lot. Well, during COVID, they needed to make more.
That is true.
So that's, again, what we want to do is show kids manufacturing throughout their education to get them excited. And then we try to get our teachers excited too. So we do lots of tours with educators, but for our tech ed teachers, after a full year of school, they can be a little burned out. And we need to keep them, you know, engaged. So we do a big event each year to just, well, thank them for all the work they do. So the first year we had boats. So they could see how a $1 million yacht was built. And then we took them on the bay in that $1 million yacht. Mm. This year is going to be vitamins and toilet paper. So they're going to see how vitamins are made and toilet paper.
The yacht sounds a lot more exciting to me, I'll be honest with you.
So that's some of the things we do around K-12. But another area is colleges, right? Mm-hmm. These students. And we're really trying to encourage our companies to do college internships. And we do an innovative kind of job fair called Internship Draft Day at Lambeau Field. So we invite college students from all over Wisconsin and Upper Michigan, and the students walk into Lambeau and see their name on a draft board, which is so apropos with the draft coming to Green Bay, based on their student club participation and GPA. And then they get interviews throughout the day, and they get points for how well they interview. And at the end of the event, Mark Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, announces the number one draft picks, and we give away college scholarships. And everyone leaves with a jersey. And since we've started, we've given over $500,000 in college scholarships. So again, investing in those students, working with our colleges, identifying what are those, the next career fields where we're going to need degrees in. So those are some of the things that we're doing around talent.
That's impressive. I'll let Rich jump in here in a second, but one of the things I want to highlight, so some gold nuggets that I really think other people should be taking away, because I work in the trades, I work with manufacturing. You make it entertaining. So I hear a lot of companies say, well, we're talking to kids in high school, and some say we're going down even as far as grade school. But they're just talking about the job. They're not really talking about it in a way that intrigues somebody to go, hey, maybe I want to learn more about this. At least I'm not experiencing that. So I really love what you're doing and how you're kind of putting a play on it that would actually get kids excited about wanting to pursue these careers. Mm-hmm. Rich, how about you?
I want to come to the event at Lambeau.
It's fun.
That's my first thought. But my second thought is, wow, that's so engaging. Like, there has to be a way to translate that into, you know, other universities also, like getting them to do something similar. I mean, Lambeau's tough to beat, right? But I mean, you can think of switch school or switch sports, go to college basketball or, you know, NBA basketball, you can go to hockey, you can go to a whole bunch of different ways. How do you get it where these people can be engaged? They're engaged mm-hmm. because they're coming to something that's somewhat sport-like, and then mm-hmm. it becomes a little bit more like career connection as well, which mm-hmm. I think we're going to see the need for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm coming from the vantage point of being in accounting, where we're already experiencing a shortage of people that, you know, how do you get more people engaged in becoming accountants? So now you take the accountant mm-hmm. side of it and you see that problem. You can translate to the same thing about nursing. You can translate the same mm-hmm. thing to, you know, the manufacturing, and you can carry it across the country. So for me, I'm sorry, I'm kind of on my soapbox, but mm-hmm. this is a very engaging part of the conversation, because you start to think, you know, how do you start to address the problem as opposed to just announcing that there's a problem? Because right. for the last few years, that's all we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the key to that is you've also switched where the focus is. The focus is on the prospective employee versus on the company. Because many mm-hmm. companies go out there and talk about how great we are, what kind of work you're going to be doing, you know, what kind of culture you're going to be in. But really, I mean, when you go into draft at Lambeau Field and see your name on the board, mm-hmm. that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And like Rich said, I don't think it matters what venue it is, you know, to put the focus back on the person who's going to be filling that job makes them feel special and important. And let's face it, we're in a social media society. Mm-hmm. So those are the things they want to see. Mm-hmm. So great job with you guys. Congratulations on what you're pulling together there.
Thank you.
How about this though? What are some of the challenges you're seeing with manufacturing right now? We know the employment side is a challenge. It sounds like you got a pretty good handle on that. What are you hearing from your members that kind of run a similar theme that you know mm-hmm. most companies should be aware of?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have a total handle on it. I mean,
you seem to be doing pretty good, so it's not perfect, but you're.
Thank you. But there's a lot more to do. A lot more to do. I think other challenges are around technology. You know, a lot of times because of not having enough people, companies mm-hmm. don't have the time to do the research and understanding of technology, but they really need to, because they're not just competing with the guy down the street, but globally. And so several years ago, we started working on Industry 4.0, helping our companies understand those technologies. We have a task force. So I have task forces, no committees, because I've been on too many committees that sit around a table mm-hmm. just talking. So we're doing. And so technology and just helping them understand how AI can help their companies. Half of our companies don't think they'll ever use AI. And that means half of them don't know. they don't know what they don't know, right? And so over the last year and a half, we've trained several hundred of our member companies in generative AI. We also, now I think companies are like, wow, we have a lot of data, because a lot of these machines are connected and spewing out this data, but we're data rich, but information poor. And so it's really important that companies in all areas within a company, from marketing to HR to plant floor to supply chain, know how to use that data to make better decisions. Mm-hmm. So we have been offering a training the last 5 years, where the first time we offered it, we had 40 people enroll. The 10th cohort I had over 100 people enroll. So we're wow. really seeing companies saying, hey, we really need to get a better handle on data, and so we can make better decisions.
So I think, is that what they're primarily using AI for, is to better manage their data information, or are there other uses?
Yeah, more so making business decisions around the data that they have, from predictive maintenance to your inventory control, right? Mm-hmm. So there's so many utilizations. You know, a lot of times people like myself, you know, we know how to use an Excel spreadsheet, but, you know, we're not pulling out, you know, really strong bits of, you know, information.
Sure.
So what we're trying to do is really help upskill where they can use Power Query and really developing that visual story that they can bring back to their companies. So that's one area that we're seeing companies. You know, the good news is the supply chain has gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not perfect. We do an annual study each year of our members. We poll companies that have 25 or more employees and have 3 million or more in revenue. So 25 or more employees and 3 million or more in revenue. Mm. And in Northeast Wisconsin, there's actually 600 companies that fit that metric.
Wow. I
mean, surprising. Yeah. And so we have usually a little bit over 100 companies take that study. During COVID, you know, 95% reported that, gosh, I can't get the supplies in, where that is now 45%. So that's been an improvement, still an issue, but significantly better than it was. But because of my organization being focused on workforce, what I hear most about is workforce issues.
Right, right. But that, as you point out, that automation, I think we're going to see more of that just simply because our population is starting to drop and it's going to be tougher to fill those positions because bottom line is we're not going to have enough people. So
right. It's a people thing. And
it is.
Industry sector, like you said, in the construction, every industry sector is all vying for this small pie of people. And we know that birth rates are lower. So, you know, there's not as many kids coming out of those high schools, right?
Yeah.
So we're all competing with them. So one of the things that we're trying to do is say, okay, you have employees now. Do they have the skills you need in order to increase your productivity? Because there's not enough people.
Yep, definitely. Rich, I know you had some questions before we jumped on the podcast. What do you remember? Because I don't want to ask them for you.
No. Of course.
Of course, I put him on the spot.
Now I have to remember what I said.
All right. I'll let you ponder that because I do have another question while he's sitting there thinking about that. So we also know labor's one side of it. The other side, it to me, is also ownership and future ownership of these companies. As you mentioned, there's what, 600 some companies up in your neck of the woods, not to mention, you know, across the entire state. That's a lot of, you know, small to medium sized manufacturers. And I'm guessing some of these owners are probably starting to think about what's next in their life. You know, that's something that Rich and I have been talking about in other episodes and talking with other people about, you know, what's going to happen when they're starting to think about retirement or selling their business. What are you hearing from your members or the people up there when you talk to them about that? Do they see opportunities? Or are they preparing for that?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, being in this role for 19 years, a lot of the people that I've worked with over the years are now retiring. And a lot of those are those business people that own their company that are retiring, which is kind of sad to me. And so that is definitely a topic of conversation. We do, the last couple of years, we have an annual summit where we focus on a hot topic. The first one was, it's called Future Work, and then the hot topic. And so this 2 years ago was on childcare, because there's not enough childcare facilities and so forth. Last year was mental health in the workplace was our hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a task force that is of industry saying, you know, what should be our hot topic this year? And succession planning is the hot topic. So on May 2nd, we have a half-day summit on succession planning.
Mm.
And some of the breakout sessions are for that owner of a company and making those decisions, right?
Yep.
The best time to sell your business is not when you need to sell it. Because it takes sometimes it takes a lot longer than expected. Often people have a higher dollar value because they put in all their heart, sweat, and all that other. But unfortunately, that sometimes does not equal how much you can get for that company.
Right.
And so the time to really start thinking about selling a company is really before you want to sell it, right?
Right.
Because there's so much you really need to prepare. And also just the emotional impact of selling your baby, right?
Right. Yes, definitely. Rich, have you remembered what you're...
Is there any... Do you have any sense of the rumblings? Because we use the word sale a lot. And sale really is only maybe one avenue of where the business might go if you want to keep the business alive. Yes, definitely selling is one thing. You know, transfer to your kids, transfer to the employees. There's other options. Are you hearing anyone thinking about the other options, or is mostly the conversation around selling?
I think mostly around selling, just or ESOPs, right? And again, sometimes they just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, they don't know what they don't know.
That's my curiosity. That definitely been. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, to me, it's somewhat, you know, they don't know what they don't know, which is always part of the problem. And I think if they all want to sell, then they actually have an influence on price if they all do it at the same time. Like, so it becomes a little bit of an interesting concept or something that definitely has to be spoken about or discussed. You know, it doesn't have to be a lecture. It has to be an open discussion on, you know, do you know that there's other options? So that's where my curiosity comes from. Like, what are you hearing? So selling, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, I think another part of it is just make sure that it stays alive, because as Dan and I have been talking about, you know, manufacturing is so important. And it's become one of those things where we really want to make sure that somebody's putting a strong enough foothold on manufacturing in the United States, not just in, you know, North Central United States, but all of the United States. So, you know, I think that's kind of my point here. Like, I want the listeners to know, like, you know, reach out and figure out this is something that you need to think about, because there's more than one option.
Most definitely. I don't think people realize how important manufacturing is to the state of Wisconsin. In terms of facts and figures, we rank number 2 in the country for percentage of manufacturing jobs as a whole. At 16% of all the jobs are in manufacturing. And Indiana is number 1. They're like at 16.2 when we're like 16.1. So they're pretty close. But as a country, it's 10%. So it is such a huge focus in our area, because it's even higher. It's 23% of all the jobs are in manufacturing.
Wow.
And so back 19 years ago, they did an economic study in our region, and they were like, oh, you really need to diversify, get out of manufacturing. Well, good thing we didn't do that. You know, it's, you know, some academic from a different state came up with the study. But anyway.
Probably California. They wanted more manufacturing out there, right?
Exactly. And we have happier cows.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So, yeah, it is such a huge importance to our region and our lifeblood. And these are good paying jobs with benefits. And that's why our state can withstand the ups and downs of inflation to, you know, all these other things that these different crises, because we have a strong base here.
That's an important point to bring up. And so as we're wrapping up here, how would people get a hold of you, whether they're in Wisconsin or elsewhere, maybe learn about some of the programs you're doing, or maybe get involved if they're in the northeast part of the state?
Yeah, so you can just, one, Google New Manufacturing Alliance, and all that contact information is there with contact form. And happy to talk with anyone about how to create these nonprofit, private, public partnerships mm-hmm. in your area. I've had the opportunity to speak in 15 different states and bringing people together, and even Italy. So if you're from Italy, I'd love to go back again.
Why not, right? Great. Well, thank you. Rich, how do they get a hold of us?
Send me an email, rich@xexo.net.
Great. And I should probably throw in here that since we were talking about succession, shortly after we air this, we're going to have a succession workshop. So we're going to be doing a webinar on April 24th at what time, Rich? 11 a.m. Central
noon
time.
Eastern. So. I think it's noon Eastern.
Noon Eastern, yep. Yeah. And we'll be talking more about some of the things that we've kind of alluded to here is what do you not know that you need to know? And then we've got a workshop series following that we'd love to have you part of. You can get a hold of me at dan@xexo.net. And I'll let Bob take it away. Take it away, Bob.
Want to boost your sales and profits, but need the talent to help you grow? XCXO is a one-of-a-kind platform to find skilled fractional executives to help develop your team into a high-performance powerhouse. Fractional leadership is a great choice when you consider the average executive-level candidate can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in salaries, benefits, and incentives. XCXO finds you the executive and utilizes their talents to build your team's experience, all for a fraction of the cost of a full-time C-suite leader. Contact XCXO today to fill the gaps in your leadership team. Visit XCXO.